Young people, I think the greatest thing you could do is fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this song says, I mention that I love Him. And I love Him tonight.
David sang the praises of the glories of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said He is precious by leaning on His bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no way. He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? And I love Him. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about my Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the stories of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I could see no way. He makes a way. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? And I love Him. That's all I want to say. Well, did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I could see no way. He makes a way. And did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made? I love Him. That's all I want to say. I love Him. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful special. Thank you, brother, for that and the testimony behind it. Thank you so much for that special there and how it challenges our heart. What an exciting place to be in on a Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. Was it hard to not say amen or run a lap while the ensembles were singing just a little while ago? My goodness. Or give a longhorn sign or something like that, right? Yes, something of my goodness sake. Wonderful. Great job, young people. And I am excited that you are here, and what a blessing it is to be here tonight. A great privilege and exciting place. I love Faith Baptist Church. I love Faith Baptist Church, and I love Pastor Angel. And the last message I preached before I took the pastorate up there in Minnesota. I preached a message entitled, I'm Debtor. And I think of that often. I'll never be able to repay Pastor Angel for all the investment that you put in to my life for those 8 years of serving here. And I can say this. I loved working at Faith Baptist. I loved it. There wasn't a day that I woke up dreading to go to the office. I couldn't wait to go to the office. I've said that over and over. I loved working for Pastor Angel. And many times I sit in my office and I think, oh boy, what would Pastor Angel do? What would Pastor Angel do? I haven't heard this question before. Thank you, Pastor, so much for the investment. I have so many wonderful memories. And if you don't mind me pausing here just a little bit, and I love the members of Midwest Bible or of Faith Baptist Church and the investment that they put into my family for those 8 years. And their faithfulness, we parked our car or van here, and I saw Delbert walking in to the building, just a faithful, faithful servant. And brother, I love you, and I love the church members of Faith. And thank you so much for all that you've invested. And may I have some wonderful memories, some great memories. Memory of some loud moments in an office, brother Jason, and some paper wads coming across the divider there, and just some great times. But I love this place. Thank you, Pastor, so much for allowing me to come. And thank you, Brother Bragg, for all the work that's gone in to the conference. I know there's many events that take place before Pilots, and much work that goes into all the decorations and the banners and the graphic design work and all of it. And I want to say thank you so much for all the organization. And youth pastors, thank you for driving some of you long, long hours to get here. And what a blessing it is. I love teenagers. I love the young people. And I believe there's so much potential in this auditorium. It's just incredible. Listen, there are enough young people here to change the world for the cause of Christ. Just here in this auditorium, there are enough young people to change not just America, but the world. There are 120 in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. And there's a lot more than 120 here in the auditorium. And there's enough to change the world that we live in and the world that we feel deeply about and we watch make the wrong decisions. There's enough young people right here to turn all of that around. And what a blessing. Youth is a blessing as well. Amen. The older I get, the more blessed thought youth is. And so, young people, I love the young people. I believe that we have here the cream of the crop. I believe we have young people that love the Lord and young people that want to do something for Christ here in this auditorium, and blesses my heart. One day I got, I think it was a Wednesday, I got a text from Brother Don, and he said, I just wanted to let you know we got done from soul winning, and we had, I can't remember exactly, it was 40-some people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. And that's exciting. 40-some people accepting Christ as a result of the teenagers going out. I think that Texas, y'all are saving Texas for Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. Hey, there we go. Let's do it again. Ready? Here we go. Woo! All right. A personal joke, inside joke there. If you weren't there, you won't get it. All right. What a blessing. My heart was thrilled, though. We've got young people all over the auditorium that love going soul winning and love singing. And you can tell while they're singing up here, the smiles on their faces and the excitement that they have for the Lord. And what a blessing. And I believe we have some of the best young people here in this auditorium. And over the next couple of days, I'm very excited about the next couple of days, tonight and tomorrow. There's three services that we're going to have together, and I want God to speak to our hearts. I don't want to speak to your heart. I don't want to speak to your mind. I want God to speak to your heart. I want God to speak to your mind. And if there's something that God sees that He wants to change or challenge, or to draw you to Himself. That's my heartbeat. And so tonight as I bring the message, I'm not bringing a message to your ears. I want to preach to your soul tonight. I want to preach to your soul. And tonight the message is not for you to doubt, but for you to examine. And you'll understand that here in just a little bit. My desire is not for you to doubt, but to examine yourself. We're going to be over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says there, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart, worker, ye that work iniquity." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would please meet with us. God, you know my heart. And that is to move out of the way and let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, Lord, tonight. Oh God, I pray that your voice would be heard in our hearts. And God, it would not just be the ears that hear the message, but it would be the soul that ponders the Word of God as it is preached. And Lord, I yield myself to you and I ask that you do a work through your Word into the hearts of the young people here this evening. What a great privilege, what a great honor it is to have this many young people that love you, Lord, and desire to use their lives for you. And I pray, oh God, that you would do a work in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Our text brings us to a lost man's last meeting with God. It is here that I believe the word or his name was not found in the book of life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, "And whosoever was not found or written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So the lost man, as he stands before God, God looks for his name in the book of life. And when his name is not found in the book of life, I believe Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 takes place. And that is the verse there. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, 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 shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" I believe this is a dialogue between a lost person with his last meeting before God, before the angels come and take him off to that eternal damnation in hell. I believe the lost man begins to bargain and he begins to plead. He begins to go back and forth with God. But all to no avail. The Bible says that God's response to him is, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In the first part of that verse it says, "I never knew you." What a sobering response from the throne of heaven. What a sobering thought to have a person that was involved in religious activities get the response, "Depart from me, ye that worked iniquity, I never knew you." So sobering to the heart and to the mind. In a few verses or a few chapters later, we find a man standing before his Lord in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21. And he begins to talk to the Lord, or the Lord, I should say, talks to him. And it says, "His Lord saith unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In chapter 7, we hear the words from the throne in heaven, "Depart from me." In chapter 25, we hear the words, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And this evening, I believe, as I look around the auditorium, I believe that everyone's desire would to be in the position of the man there in Matthew chapter 25, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I believe all of us would have that heartbeat and all of us would have that desire someday to hear God say, enter in. Amen. For eternity, you're saved. Saved. No longer can spend eternity, not one second in that place called hell. I believe all of us would desire to hear those words. Say, Brother Hansen, what's the difference here? One heard the words depart, and the other heard the word enter. Depart or enter? I believe one professed to know God, and the other possessed Jesus Christ. One professed and the other possessed. And I believe the great difference here was one was knowledge and he had the right answers. He had the right actions, but the other possessed Jesus Christ. Tonight, I believe there will be two groups that will stand before God someday. In Revelation chapter 20, it tells us, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works." The Bible says someday all mankind will stand before God. We know there's different judgments there, or different times that they'll stand before God. But I believe the difference here between these two individuals was one professed and the other possessed. So my question to us all tonight is, are you a professor or are you a possessor? Are you a professor or are you a possessor? I believe the heartbeat of every youth pastor and the heartbeat of every pastor here in the auditorium is, when you die and you go to heaven and you stand before God, and if it were this way, I don't believe it's going to be this way, but if it were this way, the youth pastor there and the pastor and then all the young people lined up behind him, I believe the heartbeat of the youth pastor would be to hear God say, enter thou in, enter thou in, enter thou in, to every one of the children in his youth group. I believe that's the heartbeat of every youth pastor here. I believe that's the heartbeat of every pastor in the auditorium. The dreaded thought of getting to heaven and saying, oh, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Now, it's one thing to head down the road after pilots and into the trip about 6 hours. You say, oh, where's so-and-so? And get looking around. Well, I thought I heard his voice. Oh, no, that was somebody else that answered roll call for him. Oh, my goodness. Well, send him in the mail or something like that, right? UPS him, FedEx him, whatever. And we've got a treat for him when he gets there. But that's one thing, to leave a child behind, and that would be a horrible thing. But can you imagine the youth group in heaven, everybody gathered around, and there's one teenager that's not there. Hey, where's John? I don't know. I haven't seen him. I've walked down the streets of gold and I haven't seen him. Where's Jill? I'm not sure. I'm looking still. The shock of one of the young people not being there. And young person, my heartbeat tonight is not to preach to your ears. My heartbeat this evening is to preach to your soul. I want you not to doubt your salvation. Please understand my motive here. I don't want you to doubt your salvation, but I do want you to examine your salvation or your profession. Is it a are you a professor? Or are you a possessor? Which one? Do you profess or do you possess? The heartbeat of every youth director and pastor is that you will be a possessor. Let me give you just a couple of things here. Number one, the professor. The professor is a dignified man or a woman that grows up in the church, knows the do's and the don'ts of his faith. The professor knows what to wear. Amen. The professor knows to shine his shoes. The professor knows how to tie the double Windsor. And the professor knows how to sing, hold the songbook and sing the words, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me." How the professor knows he's dignified, she's dignified, but he only knows how to proclaim. He knows how to talk the right talk. He knows how to do the right things. He knows how to obey. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" As the professor draws near to God, I believe that day he will begin to profess his religion. In other words, he'll begin to profess what he knows about faith. He'll begin to express what he or how he understands his faith. The Bible says there, verse 22, I just read it. I want you to see a couple of words here. It says, "In that day, Lord, Lord." He has the right name. He knows his name. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Five times the man stands there and he refers back to the name of the Lord. "Lord, I did these things, Lord, in your name, in your name. I know how to answer it. I know how it works. I know how this whole church thing works." Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. You know the story. He runs to Jesus, and the Bible says here in verse number 17, Mark chapter 10, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these I have observed from my youth.'" Lord Jesus, I've done all these. I must be on my way to heaven. "From a child, from a youth, I practiced these things. I've been involved in keeping those commandments that Moses gave us." The word "observe" means to understand and fulfill. I have understood the commandments of the Mosaic law. Not only have I understood them, but I've also followed them. I've kept them to the T. Was the man saved? No. Was the man going to spend eternity in heaven? No. Why? Because he was a professor. He knew how it worked. Listen, over the centuries, men and women have built a bridge to heaven through their religion or through their knowledge of God. But they've only come to find out that their bridge was built with sand. And when it was tested, it crumbled. At the throne of God, it crumbled. The words of this man that spoke many years ago, I want you to ask the question or answer the question, who spoke these words in your heart or in your mind? Who spoke these words? I quote here, "In this hour, I would ask of the Lord only this, that He would give His blessings to our work and that He may ever give us the courage to do the right. I'm convinced that men who are created by God should live in accordance with the will of the Almighty. No man can fashion a world history unless upon His purpose and His power there rest the blessings of His providence. Wow! What great preacher said those words many years ago? He was at a convention in 1937. What preacher? Was it D.L. Moody? Was it a great man of yesteryear that graced the pulpit? No, the answer actually is Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Well, we all know, good night, a man like that, could he really be in heaven? A man like that? Well, surely he wouldn't be in that place called heaven. A man like that? What kind of words are spoke from his lips? Listen, you can say anything. You can act any way. But the profession doesn't change the eternal destination. The eternal destination is not fashioned, is not based on one's knowledge or their religion. Listen to me, young person. You can quote the fundamentals of the faith. You can have the Baptist distinctives down in your heart. You can quote Scripture. You can have chapters memorized. But it makes no difference when you stand before God. Professor, are you a professor? Are you sitting with your youth group tonight? Thinking, boy, I've got everybody fooled. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that I was told that I walked the aisle and I prayed and accepted Christ. And really, I have not had that real conviction of the heart that drew me to salvation. You may be sitting here tonight. Nobody knows. I can't tell. It's great. Thumbs up, everyone with the dress. I think everybody is wonderful. Guys have ties on and suits on and shoes shined. Thumbs up. But it has nothing to do with the outside. The religious part of it. I can have all the head knowledge. And this man, the professor, comes to God and he stands before God and he says, I did all these things in your name. I know you. I know you. Just let me in. And God says, no. No, you are a professor, not a possessor. A professor, let me say secondly here, he proclaimed his righteousness or his deeds. He proclaimed his deeds. So as the man, the professor, stands before God and says, all right, Lord, you don't see my name in the book, but, it was your name that did all these things, and your name, and I know all of this about religion. And then, let me add to that, I have prophesied. Have we not prophesied and in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Boy, I did all these things, God. Hold on. I ran the bus route. And God, I sang in the teen choir. And God, I helped the youth pastor with all the activities. And God, I did all these things. And God is not interested in all the works to get you to heaven. The works can't do it. And you would tell me that. I'm not telling you anything new. But I'm telling you there was a man in the Word of God that tried it. He said, Lord, Lord, have we not done? I've done all these things. God says, yes, you've done those things. But you're a professor. You're a professor. You are claiming something that you are not. Because we are tainted with the sin nature, all of our good deeds are tainted as well. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The man comes to Jesus, the Pharisee comes to Jesus, the Pharisee goes into the temple and begins to pray. Here we have two guys, you know, the Pharisee and the publican, and they go in to pray. And there, while they're praying, you can hear the Pharisee. And he begins to pray loud. The Bible says here in in verse chapter 18 of the book of Luke, and verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It's interesting, prayed with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men, and are not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican here. This guy, man, he's got issues. You ever said that about somebody in your youth group? They've got issues. It's not 12 o'clock yet. They've got issues. It's morning. All right, this guy's got issues. I'm not as this publican, says. Then he says, I fast twice, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Here this man, he's strutting around in the temple. Boy, I do all these good things. I pray and I fast. And look at me, huh? A professor. A professor. You know what? The people would look at him and say, whoa, that man, he's got it on. He's got faith. He's got religion. He is a very righteous man. And God looks down from heaven and he's going, bah, barf. Huh? Yuck. Anybody have anybody do that on the bus on the way here? All right, put your hands down. We don't need to know. Huh? Oh, my goodness. God looks down from heaven and says, that doesn't please me one bit. I'm not impressed with that. And the man that's in, I picture the publican in maybe not rags, but in just common man's clothing. The publican going into the temple, and he buries his head on the floor, and he begins to commune with God. And God says, I hear that man's prayer. The other guy, man, he's a professor. He lets everybody know what's going on. It looks good. He's got the knowledge. He's got the deeds. But inside, he's empty. Empty. A young person, I can't tell. Your youth pastor can't tell. Your pastor can't tell. But God can. He looks down, he looks through the tie and through the shirt, and he looks through the skin and the flesh, and he looks into the heart of man, and he's searching to find out if you are a professor or if you're a possessor. God's looking at the heart. This evening, I can't tell. I can't tell. But God does. God sees it. Lord, Lord, have I not? I know your name. You want me to quote the fundamentals of the faith? Here we go. You want me to go through the distinctives, Baptist distinctives? Here we go. You want me to quote Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount? Or 5, 6, and 7? I can do that. You want me to quote 1 John? I can do that. What do you want me to do? Sing in front of people? I got it. And God says, I'm not interested in all of that. I'm interested in your heart. I want your heart, young person. He's looking for not one that just professes his faith as far as the outside. He's looking at the heart. The heart. We find the next man, the possessor. We have the professor. Then we have the possessor. The possessor stands before God. If you can take your mind's eye and put it on the throne of heaven, as you're standing there and as you're watching people, you see this man come before God. As he stands before the Lord, he has no need, listen to me, he has no need to say, but Lord, Lord, look at me. Lord, Lord, what do you want quoted? Lord, Lord, what good deed do you want me to tell you about? Oh, he has no need to do any of that. No. Because God sees his heart. And he possesses something so much greater than knowledge of religion or the deeds of religion. He possesses one called Jesus Christ who died on the cross for his sins. That's who he possesses. And that's who he claims at the throne of grace. He stands before God and says, not of any merit of my own, but I stand here, Lord, because you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross. Not of my own good deeds, Lord. I come humbly before you. I possess one that I do not deserve. In 1 John 5 and verse 12, he says, he that hath, it's possessive, hath the Son. And you don't wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to have the Son this morning. No, it doesn't work that way. He that hath the Son hath life. It's not talking about breathing here on earth. It's talking about eternal life in heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not, you guessed it, life. But rather, on the contrary, hath eternal death in that place called hell. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him. Possessive. I have it. I grab it. It's mine. Jesus Christ is not a bit of information. He is not part of a doctrinal statement. No, He is a person. And either you have Him or you don't. That's it. You have Him or you don't. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. It's one or the other. I have Him or I don't have Him. Tonight, as you're sitting there, either you have Him or you don't. I'm not talking about your suit coat. I'm not talking about your tie. I'm not talking about your fancy glasses or the leather Bible that you're holding in your hands. A person can be sent to hell with the Bible in their hands. Yeah. Singing Amazing Grace. Quoting passages of Scripture, going through the fundamentals of the faith. Person says, Lord, Lord, hold on. Have I not? Either you have the Son or you don't. But as many as received Him, that's a definite verb there. Speaking of a definite time, definite place, where acceptance of this one, Jesus, took place. I was visiting one Thursday, and I went to the house, and the folks let me in, and we got to talking in the living room, and kindest folks sat down there, and they were members of a Catholic church, and she was in charge of teaching the CCD teachers how to teach the Catholic classes. We sat down there, and they had visited the church. They're still members of the Catholic Church, but they had just left 2 weeks before. They had 8 kiddos there. And we got to talking, and they said, you know, we have changed so much. In the last couple of years, we've changed, and we've done all these different things. And well, one of the things is, they said, you know, we got rid of our TV. And they pointed to a place there in the living room. I said, oh, you did? They said, yeah, we got rid of the TV, and we got this instead, and it's a statue of Mary. So, wow, what a great swap. So we got to talking, and when they came to church, they said, you know, we're looking for a church with good music and good standards. I thought, okay, that's kind of an odd request from some folks. Coming for the first time, I thought they must be coming from another church. But no, I found out they were coming from the Catholic Church. We sat down in the living room and began to talk to them and went through the plan of salvation. They said, boy, we understand this. Yeah, we believe this. Absolutely. Yes, you must. Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. And He rose from the dead for us and died on the cross. And His blood is the only thing that can wash away our sins. And then I asked them, has there ever been a time when you accepted Christ? And they said, well, you know, the last 2 years have been just an incredible journey for us. I told you about giving up this and that. And they came to a conclusion of the standards themselves, went through all that. I said, you know, we just feel like we have done that throughout the course of these last couple of years. And in my mind, I was thinking, no. You are a professor, not a possessor. Jesus Christ is not in your heart. He has not saved you from your sins. And so I backed up just a little bit and I started talking to them about visitation. They were intrigued in this thing called soul winning. And so I started telling them stories. I said, you know, yesterday I was out visiting and I met this man. And He invited me into the house. I went through the plan of salvation, and he, in the living room, accepted Jesus as his Savior. They just both looked at me. He was sitting on the hearth there. And she was sitting on the couch. And so then we left his house, and we were knocking some more doors and went to another house. And the man, we went through the plan of salvation, and the man accepted Christ as his Savior. That was second testimony. Then there were three that had been saved that week. And so then I said, then we went to another place and knocked on the door, and the person was interested about going to heaven and not sure that they would go. And so we went through the plan of salvation, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. And the lady was sitting there, and she stands up, and she says, "Hold on. They have a specific time when they accepted Christ?" I said, "Yeah, they sure do." She looked at her husband. She said, "Now, we haven't had that." He looked at her and said, "No, I guess we haven't." And here I am, the soul winner. I wonder when a good time would be to have that. Then she says to her husband, you got to know the lady, she's a ball of energy, "Why don't we do that now?" He looks at her and says, "Now? Yeah, let's do that now." And he said, "Can we do that now?" I said, "Yeah, you sure can." "Okay, how do we do it?" So they got down on their knees by the couch, just like that. Amen. And they prayed, and they asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart afterwards. Amen. Oh, we were so excited. I got in the car, and it did some steering wheel pounding, amen, all the way back to the church. It was a blessing. Those kids were in the basement. They came up from the basement. There were five older kids, and they said, what did you and you, Mom and Dad, what did you talk about with Pastor?" And they said, "Well, we talked about knowing for sure that we're going to heaven." And the kids said, "Boy, we want to know that as well. Can we know that?" And so the man flipped the track over. He said, "All right, this is what he told us." And he read through there. He said, "Now, he prayed a prayer. I'm not sure what it is, but I know it's something like the sinner's prayer." Hold on one second. Went over to the computer, Googled sinner's prayer. Hit print. Got that piece of paper. All the kids were sitting around there by the couch. And he read, "Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus." Huh? Hey, there was a specific time when they accepted Christ as the Savior. Let me ask you tonight, are you a possessor or are you just a professor? Which one tonight? Which one? "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." It's one or the other, but it is not both. You can't have both. Either you're saved or not. It has nothing to do with religion and how much you know. Some of you, my heart goes out to you as far as admiring your love for the Word of God. Some of you, you memorize several chapters for this convention. Several chapters. Bless your heart. But I'm telling you, you can memorize the whole Bible and still spend eternity in hell. Young person, it's not what you know, it's not what you do, it's who you have. Are you a possessor of that one, Jesus Christ? The possessor has a relationship. Has a relationship. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never," what? Knew. It's a scary thing. Because that's reversed. That's not me or the professor saying, I know you, Jesus. I know, just let me in now. It's from God's viewpoint. I never knew you. Let me ask you, does God know you? I'm not asking you, do you know about God? I'm asking you, does God know you? Oh, everything in place. Everything looks good. Everybody's fooled. Does God know you? He sees everything. He watches everything.
Because does God know you? He will be the one that says the last words. Look at that. It says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then will I profess unto them. Jesus always has the last words. You can barter and you can dicker and you can pull and cry and throw a fit at the throne of God, but it will not do any good because either He knows you or He doesn't. And that's it. And that's it. As soon as you hear the words, I never knew, there is no reversing of it. It's over. But I looked really cool with all the youth group. Man, I was the jock of our youth group. But I was the one that had all the cool things as the teen girl. All of them looked up to me, man. It was a great place to be. I had the limelight in the youth group. But if God never knows you, the end. The possessor has a relationship with God. Religion becomes robotic, because there's no relationship. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit or enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, except a man be born again. Let me say this. Relationship begins at birth. And it doesn't begin with your physical birth spiritually. It begins with your second birth. And so you can grow up in the church all your life, in the youth group, and still be a professor if you are not born again. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well, doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They have no relationship. Either we have a relationship or we don't. The possessor, he has a transformation that has taken place. We could go through the auditorium and we could talk about different transformations that have taken place. Fellas that used to be alcoholics and are no longer. Ladies that did not serve the Lord and now they are serving God. Transformation that took place. Why? Why? Because when you have something as big as God move into you, change happens. Change happens. And you gotta talk about it. And it's exciting to you. Man, you've gotta meet the person that moved into my life, into my heart. His name is Jesus. There's a transformation that takes place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New. There's a transformation that takes place in the heart of an individual. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the difference between conformed and transformed? Conform means to imitate or to copy. All right? Andrew, if you want to come on up here. Imitate or copy. Be not, the Bible says, and be not conformed. So if I wear my tie to the side, guess what? Andrew wears his tie to the side. Yeah. And if I wear my shoe with one lace untied, guess what? He wears his shoe with... I didn't untie you. You're okay there. Huh? If I wear my suit coat like this, all of a sudden, he wears his suit coat like that. What are we doing? We are conforming to one another. We're conforming. And the Bible says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Transform means change. It means a change from the inside out. Thank you, brother. You may be seated there. A change from the inside out. And I believe sometimes in our youth groups, that we have young people that are saved as a child, or they make a profession, but there's no change. What were they going to change from? Going to Sunday school? It's all. What are they going to give up? Smoking their kindergarten papers? Huh? They're going to give up tying their shoes? I mean, what kind of change can they make? But the transformation is from the heart. It's the heart out. It's a change from the heart. And so, young person, let me ask you, yes, there may not have been a physical change, but is there an internal transformation that has taken place? Is there any kind of desire? Boy, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. I want to pick up my Bible. I can't wait to read my Bible in the morning. I want to walk with God. I want to serve in the church. I want to be obedient to my parents. Is there any kind of transformation from the inside out? That's the question. It isn't what have you given up, because you weren't involved in that. I've never had my first cigarette. I've never had a taste of alcohol. I've never had those things. But you know what? When I got saved, all of a sudden there was a burning desire. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. Listen, young person, it's not the external. It's the heart. Do you possess Jesus in your heart? And if you possess Him, what kind of change is He doing from the inside out? Is He working? Is there any kind of desire? I sat with a man some time ago, and he professed that he prayed a prayer, accepted Christ, and he is a Christian. And I said, "Sir, I have a question for you. Do living things have an appetite?" He said, "Absolutely. Yeah, sure do." I said, "How can you be saved and have absolutely no appetite for the things of God? Have no desire to be pleasing to God, read your Bible, pray, go to church. You have no desire." Listen, I believe young people, sometimes we come to the age 18, 19, graduation takes place, and then there's freedom. And we see young people go out into the world because there hasn't been a transformation. There's been a profession. I know this, I do this. But there is no possession of the one living within you. I talked to a man the other day, and he said, I was preaching something, and he gave me a picture of a man that was shooting up on heroin. And he says, "Boy, this so bothers me. Because in the picture it had the arm of Christ that he was shooting up as his arm." He said, "That bothers me so bad. And I realize every time I do a sin, it's dragging the Lord Jesus Christ through that same sin." Here's this man, all tattoos all over the place, and, you know, he's got the goatee going on and the hair going on, and he's been saved for 9 months. But God's changing him from the inside. So I don't want to be involved in those type of things anymore. I don't want to be involved in that kind of crowd. It's an inside change, not the outside. Although, guess what? When someone, Jesus Christ, moves in, it changes the outside as well. Yeah. Changes everything about the individual. From the inside out, all the possessor, he has a relationship. He also has a transformation that has taken place. Let me ask you, do you have a transformation? Is Christ working in you? Is there a burning desire to do something for God? Do you have that passion? Say, "Brother Hansen, I feel like I'm a professor tonight." If I could have a couple of guys, let's have you come on up here. There we go. I'll have you stand right over here. These are the only two options that we have tonight. Professor or possessor. I said, Brother Hansen, I feel like I'm standing in this category. Nobody knows. I've pulled it off thus far. And it seems like everybody believes my testimony. But I know deep down in my heart that everything's not right. I'm a professor. And I want to be a possessor. How do I get to be a possessor? Let me say this. The only one that can bring conviction is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So let me say this. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today, tonight is the time to respond. Do not put it off. I had a time when I was praying for my uncle. His name was Donnie. Actually, my great uncle, Uncle Donnie. We had prayed for many years and fasted as a family. God, please save Uncle Donnie. Finally, I got word that his health was declining. He had cancer, and he was very sickly. So went up to Minnesota, and I sat there in the back of his house on the swing. I began to talk with him. I said, Donnie, we've been praying for you for the last, really, it had been 20 years. We've been praying for him. Donnie, would you please accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? His wife kept on butting in. Eventually, she had to go into the house and do something. I said, this is my time. I'm gonna confront him and ask him, Donnie, would you pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior with me? Out here in the back porch, would you please do it? So I asked him. She left. I said, Donnie, please, would you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? What do you have to lose? You know you're on your way to hell. What do you have to lose? And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. He said, I wish I could, but I can't. He didn't know what he was saying, but I did. There's no conviction. And when there is no conviction, there is absolutely no way a person can come to God on their own. There's no conversion, no conviction, no conversion. He sat there and he said, I wish I could, but I can't. I said, please, Donnie. Please. I sat back there on a Saturday morning in my office. I got a phone call on my cell phone. I said, hello. This is Caleb. I said, yeah, we just wanted to let you know that Donnie passed away last night. It was too late. It was too late. There was no conviction. Hence, there's no conversion. And you know what that means. Now, for the last 5-6 years, since that Saturday morning, right before bus meeting, he's been spending eternity in hell. He will be spending eternity in hell. So don't you think that's kind of harsh? No. That's the Bible. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Professor, let me say, if God is speaking to your heart, tonight is the night to make a decision. Do not put the Holy Spirit off, because He will only strive with you for so long. It starts with conviction. Then it moves to confession. Moves to confession, and then it's conversion. Conviction, confession, conversion. Yes, that's how it starts, and the Spirit of God leads you to that decision where there's conviction, there's conversion, and then there's conviction, confession, and then conversion. I had May 10th, my aunt came to church. So she was sitting on the left-hand side, about 3 rows back. She came in after Sunday school, and she was so excited. She said, hey, here's a bouquet of lilacs. She said, here's a bouquet of lilacs. She put them on my desk. This is the first time she had been in a Baptist service like this. We've been praying for a long time. She came in, put the bouquet of lilacs there on the desk. And I said, man, I am so excited that you are here. Thank you so much for coming. Introduced her to her church. I said, I have a friend here, and we have a guest with us. More than a guest, a relative, she says. I said, amen. All right. It's good to have this aunt here. Then she sat through the service, and God spun the message to where we preached on stand before the great white throne judgment. And stand before God as a lost person and then being condemned forever in hell. After the service, I shook her hand and said, please, can I meet with you tomorrow for lunch? She said, yes, I want to do that. I want to talk to you about this message. Monday came. I called her up. I said, we're still on for noon at Culver's? She said, actually, I'm going to have to postpone that to Tuesday. I said, okay, all right. Tuesday, 12 Culver's. Got it? Tuesday, 12 Culver's. Called her up on Tuesday. She said, you know, it's not going to work. Some health issues came up. How about Wednesday? Called her Wednesday. A family member had a heart attack. She said, I will contact you next time I'm in town. Thursday morning, listen, young people, Thursday morning, I get a phone call from another aunt. I said, hello. She said, I just wanted to let you know that Aunt Corey just was hit by a car. Flipped the Jeep, and she's dead. That's it. Not another chance. My heart just broke. Why? Why? Because when God convicts, when He draws, He knows your time. He knows your time. And God knows. You say, oh, I'm young. How many times have you stood in a teenager's funeral? You grieve. Because the life was cut short. So let me ask us tonight, are we professor or are we a possessor? Professor or possessor? I can't tell the difference. Only you and God know. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This evening, I do not desire to bring doubt to your heart. My desire is to bring examination to your heart, to your salvation, or the lack thereof. Let me ask you, young person, are you ready for that meeting, the last meeting with God? He will have the last word. And it will be either depart or enter. Which one? I know your youth pastors want it to be enter. Your pastor desires it to be enter. Maybe you'd say, I just don't know what people would say. I know what they'll say. We are so happy for you if you make that decision. Let me ask you tonight, did the Spirit of God speak to your heart? And Brother Hansen, I need to make a decision. I need to switch from being a professor to a possessor. And I understand that tonight. I want to do that. It doesn't matter who's around me. It doesn't matter who sees my hand. No one's looking at this time. But it doesn't matter to me. I want to be a possessor. Brother Hansen, here's my hand tonight. Slip my hand up, yes. Who else? I want to be a possessor. I see that hand, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Who else would join? Yeah, God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those three hands in the balcony. Yes. It's between you and God. No one's looking around. I want to be a possessor. Here's my hand. I lift it up. I join the others. I want to be a possessor. Teenagers, those of you who just raised your hand, I just want you to look at me. Just want you to look at me. There we go. There we go. Yep. 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 Up in the balcony. There we go. Yes, sir. Right over there. What I want you to do, I want you to go to your youth pastors. Wife, if you're a young lady, I want you to go to a youth pastor, if you're a young man, and I want you to talk to them. Tell them what the Lord is doing in your heart. No one's looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Young person, this is worth it. There's several that raised your hand. And I don't want you to slip away. I don't want you to leave the service without making a decision here tonight. God spoke to my heart. Go ahead. I want you to look. I want you to look right at me, okay? All right, very good. Very good. Very good. Yep. Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Yes. Would you go talk to your youth director or youth pastor or your pastor? Would you do that? Yes. Would you do that? Would you do that? Yes. Maybe you'd say, Brother Hansen, God's working on my heart about this thing of having a transformation in my heart, having a burning desire to do something for God. I don't necessarily have that, but that's what I want. So that's me tonight. Would you slip your hand up? It's my hand, yes. Yeah, God bless you. I see those hands. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Me, hands raised. You may put your hands down. Those of you who, I'm going to go back to this thing of being a possessor. If you lifted your head and if you're looking at me, there you go. Yep, yep. I want you to go to your youth director at this time, all right? Go ahead. Just stand up. Stand up. Who cares if people see? There you go. Stand up. I just want you to go to your youth pastor, your youth director. There you go. There you go. Yep. Very good. Very good. Find your youth director. Talk to your youth director. I want to be a possessor. There you go. Yep. Up in the balcony. There you go. Find your youth director or your youth pastor, your pastor. Maybe you say, Pastor, it's a little awkward moving without any music. That's all right. We'll play the music. Let me encourage you. You go. You talk to your youth pastor, your youth director's wife. You talk to them and you tell them, I want to become a possessor, not a professor. Let's stand to our feet. God spoke to your heart. Let me encourage you. Respond to Him. The music is going to play, and let me encourage you on the first note. You come, make a decision. As the music begins, young person, go to your youth pastor. Go to your youth director. Go to youth director's wife. Please, don't stand. They're waiting for somebody. Go to them. I want to have a transformation. I want to have a burning desire in my heart to do something for God.